This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Good morning. Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen. My heart sank, Paul, when you start hearing of another shooting on another college campus. There have been 81 mass shootings so far this year, and a mass shooting is four or more people injured by gunfire, not including the shooter. So we have, as you said, two dead and six injured, including this 20-year-old student who is the suspect in the shooting. And, you know, I know we've been through this here multiple times. So when you think it can't happen here, obviously we know that's not true, but another college campus, and with details from CBS, Michael George.
Tragically, this isn't even the first time this has happened there. Two men were killed. Neither were students. Six others were injured. The suspect was taken into custody after he was shot by officers. Police identified him as 20-year-old Phoenix Eichner, the stepson of a sheriff's deputy who allegedly used his stepmother's former service weapon to carry out the attack. The gunfire erupted around lunchtime yesterday in the student union on the Tallahassee campus. CBS's Jared Hill joins us now with more on this. Do we know anything yet about the motive for this attack?
We are hearing from some people who knew the suspected shooter, but a big question this morning for investigators is still, why did a 20-year-old student shoot up his college?
Horror on the campus of Florida State University.
Oh my gosh.
Students scrambled for safety as a man opened fire Thursday. Hold Mendez says he ran once he saw the shooter.
As soon as I thought I was in a somewhat safer position, i.e. out of the immediate sight of the gunman, I said, okay, need to start getting people to call 911.
Officers swarmed the campus as some students hid in classrooms.
My teacher didn't necessarily know what to do because she was from Canada, so she hadn't been trained in that before. So the students and I kind of just took over control of the situation.
Two people were killed, neither students. Six others taken to the hospital, including the suspected gunman. Authorities identified him as 20-year-old Phoenix Eichner, an FSU student and the stepson of a Leon County Sheriff's deputy.
Unfortunately, her son had access to one of her weapons, and that was one of the weapons that was found at the scene.
FSU student Lainey Montgomery says she also went to middle and high school with the suspect.
He was very isolated.
President Trump offered condolences. This latest school shooting has reignited conversations about gun safety. The Florida legislature is coincidentally considering removing laws enacted after the 2018 Parkland High School shooting.
The gun doesn't do the shooting. The people do. I have an obligation to protect the Second Amendment. I ran on the Second Amendment.
At FSU, the campus is turning to healing. A free meal and a growing memorial.
It's little things like this that, you know, kind of help distract us a little bit.
Marking a day many will never forget.
FSU has canceled classes through today. Meanwhile, court records obtained by CBS News show the suspected shooter had been at the center of a years-long custody battle between his father and his birth mother. Still no word on a motive as to why this shooting happened yesterday.
CBS is Jared Hill.
And I have to ask the question, Larry. I'm just curious. What does the child custody thing have anything to do with the shooting? I'm curious.
You know, I guess early on, they try to piece together mindset, what's going on in an individual's life, how that something within that may or may not be a trigger. You know, you go through a lot of this where they'll start to piece together social media posts when they get to the home, go through, you know, where he slept, the bedroom, what was the mindset? What would drive someone to do this?
And what stood out to me in what has come out so far, I don't know about you, but this is a weapon that used to be used by his mother, who is a sheriff's deputy, in her job. And then she had that one at home when they retired it and replaced it with a new gun for the job. Now, that usually it's the stories we'll hear about this at home that, you know, the shooter, a young person, has gotten a hold of guns in the home, or the parents have bought them the weapons. But this one is very different.
Yeah, it is different. And, you know, at 20 years old, you have access to those kind of things, you know, regardless. But still, I'm sure nobody feels worse than his mother, too. And
oh, how awful.
An
18-year veteran of the Leon County Sheriff's Office. And so, I also want to know, too, I'm curious to know if the weapon had a gun lock, if it did or didn't. He may have had access to the key to unlock it if there was one.
It's interesting that we found many of weapons used in crimes, not necessarily at this level, though, are stolen. And stolen from cars that are unlocked with a pistol in the glove compartment or the console, which...
Or like we had just a few days ago, these two men from Erie County who were accused of breaking into a home in Cranberry and stealing 19 weapons worth over $50,000. Now, police were able to recover those, but home invasions and robberies like that, too.
Well, regardless, in this case, two people dead, six injured, including the suspected gunman. And getting to the mindset of why a 20-year-old student would do that is going to take time. Download the free Odyssey app. Take us with you wherever you go. AUDACY. And we'll keep you posted on breaking news, weather information, and crystal clear digital audio. And it's got a leg of DVR, too. You can roll back and listen to important interviews. And we've got a lot going on and gearing up for a Pittsburgh mayoral debate that we will have here live. And that'll be the morning of May 8th, Paul. And I know last night...
Have you seen the headlines?
Yeah. So share with us what... Because last night they got together, the mayoral candidates.
Yes, they did. And the headline in the Post-Gazette says, Gainey-O'Connor clash in fiery Democratic mayoral primary debate. Wow.
Not a surprise, I suppose. But the fact is, in this city, the mayoral primary on the Democratic ticket is... 99% chance of who's going to be the winner in November.
Now, let's hope this doesn't happen when we hold our debate with these gentlemen, but quoting directly now from this story, it says, the candidates traded accusations, interrupted each other, and at times shouted during this half-hour debate last night on Channel 11. I don't want that here. I can tell you, I don't know anybody who does. I'd rather hear them debate the issues, right?
Yeah, debate the issues, and we want answers to questions of and each other has accused each other of, you know, as you have in these, and we've almost become used to the acrimonious accusations back and forth.
You know, it pretty much started with candidate O'Connor saying that the mayor wasn't transparent about the state of the city's finances, and then the mayor came back and said that he was doing his administration, and, quote, an incredible job to ensure a strong city budget. So they all have very different views of the same situation.
Other news outside of that Florida State University campus shooting, which we'll continue to cover, is this Luigi Mangione, who's been indicted on federal charges, including murder, was brought to court yesterday.
And while federal prosecutors announced the charges against Luigi Mangione last December, he hadn't formally been indicted until now. He's pleaded not guilty to all the charges brought against him over his alleged assassination of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson. Prosecutors are seeking the death penalty. His lawyers have filed a motion for that to be off the table.
That is Stacy Lynn from CBS. And Paul, I know somebody who looks like him, who's an actor. And he has been, someone has reached out to him. They are already putting a movie together about this most unusual situation. For those that don't know, he has received financial support from people for whatever reason they believe.
There is a group of people now in the United States who support what he did and think it was justified,
which is, to most normal thinking people, which is most,
let's
most
use people. The word rational, yeah, as right. versus irrational, right?
Yeah.
I mean, irrational to think that just because someone has murdered a CEO of a healthcare company that you don't like or don't support what they do or don't like how they do business, whatever it might be, that that's somehow justified. I agree that people have legitimate beefs, right, concerning health insurance problems. We've got some work to do in the United States when it comes to health care. But still, how do you just, murder is justified in that? That's irrational.
And the people that support that, it doesn't make any sense. Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, the nation remembers this Saturday, tomorrow, marking 30 years. Since the Oklahoma City bombing. And for many, this seemed to be the beginning of a series of these kinds of domestic terrorist attacks.
And I've forgotten why the two people involved in the bombing, I've forgotten why now, McVeigh and the other guy.
Timothy McVeigh and Terry Nichols.
Terry Nichols. I've forgotten what their motivation was. I don't even know what it was, except to, you know, terrorize people.
Well, they exploded the truck bomb, which was filled with fertilizer, highly flammable, killing 168 people and injuring 700 more.
The images of the destruction at the Murrah Federal Building were just unbelievable to me. It looked like something out of Beirut or Baghdad.
Yes. And Robin Marsh, an anchor with KWTV in Oklahoma City, and 30 years ago, she was just 9 days into her new position at the television station as a reporter on that day. And she talks about this year's ceremony, which will be held indoors due to bad weather.
President Bill Clinton will be here. And, you know, President Clinton was president in 1995 when the Oklahoma City bombing happened. And even during that time, he said, I'll be here today and I'll be here as many days as possible for Oklahoma City. And here he is returning back to Oklahoma.
And our own Marty Griffin was actually, he worked in Oklahoma City. So he's seen a lot of these things firsthand. That's with Michael Bartley. And this is the Big K Morning Show. One of the takeaways from this week was the conversation about autism and the push by the new health secretary, and that would be Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and talking about a focus on trying to get to the triggers, what causes autism. And joining us is Dr. Tager Fussberg, a professor at Boston University and an expert in autism research. Doctor, good morning. Welcome to KDKA.
Oh, good morning, and thank you for inviting me.
What do we hope to learn about what causes autism? What does and doesn't? What has been ruled out?
Okay, well, the one thing we have ruled out definitively is vaccines. That's been studied repeatedly in very well-designed and complicated studies, and we know that vaccines do not cause autism. What we do know is that genetics plays a very significant role, and it is likely that it interacts in some children. In some, it's going to be the sole explanation. In others, it might interact with some non-genetic factors that we're beginning to understand. But each of these other factors plays such a small role, it's difficult to identify them so easily.
And this newer statistic suggesting 1 in 31 children are dealing with some level of the autism spectrum is, as Kennedy said, it's an epidemic. But let's backtrack for just a moment and not assume that everyone knows or understands what autism is and what the spectrum is all about. Can you give us kind of a layman's explanation, please?
Okay, so the main features of autism on which we base a diagnosis are problems, difficulties with social communication. So they don't engage so easily. They find forming relationships more difficult. They're not effective when they're communicating with other people. They may also have sensory issues, repetitive behaviors, and also some, you know, unusual and focused interests. And those are really the core features. But many individuals with autism, in fact most, also have other features that co-occur. So they may have some medical issues, gastrointestinal or sleep problems. A significant number may have intellectual disability or language impairment. Anxiety is very common, especially as children get older. So all these additional features contribute to the more complex presentation and the variety that we see among people diagnosed with autism.
And it's not a diagnosis of one fits all. That's why they call it a spectrum, because there are many high-functioning people with autism and who have extraordinary intellect in many cases, too. How do you begin to separate through what that spectrum is?
Well, the spectrum, as I say, is defined by the severity of the core symptoms and also the extent to which they do or do not have intellectual disability or language, severe language difficulties. That accounts for a considerable amount of the severity and the individual variation that you talk about. And when we discuss 1 in 31, that encompasses the full spectrum.
So the number may be not exactly, because we've come over the years to learn a lot more about autism. I know a generation ago, very few people knew much about it at all. And then we've come to learn that there is a wide spectrum of individual.
Yes, when, indeed.
When is a child at age typically diagnosed?
So I would say across the country, the average age is between, it's still around age 4. But in fact, if parents notice differences much earlier than that, we can screen for autism at the age of 18 months, and we can even diagnose autism at 18 months to 2 years of age. And in places like Pittsburgh, where there's a major autism center, you'll find that children end up getting diagnosed at an earlier age.
And what should parents look for in their young children? Then they may suspect that something is not exactly tracking as normal.
Well, they often notice, the first feature they notice is that their baby at around 12 months is not as vocal, isn't babbling as much, may not be using words. So they may be quieter babies. They may be less engaged with other people. It may be that they're quite engaged with their parents at this point, but especially over the second year of life, the features really emerge, and they may find that if they get together with parents and other babies, that their own baby seems less interested in the other children, happier to play with their own toys. So those are some of the features that they may notice.
And we encourage mothers and fathers to reach out. There are tremendous resources. There have been early intervention is something I hear a lot of people say that is critical.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
So the sooner you can reach out, the better. Right, Doc?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Early identification is the key to optimizing your child's outcome, because we know that early intervention really does benefit all children, and some considerably more than others.
Doctor, we appreciate your time and expertise. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Dr. Tager Fussberg, who is an expert professor at Boston University when it comes to the study of
Light News Desk.
It's really somber. It's like everyone left. I feel like so many people left. They don't want to be here. They don't want to like keep walking around and reliving it, like what they saw, what they heard.
And it's an FSU student, Larry, who says some students just packed up and left campus yesterday.
I imagine it's getting in to the semester, getting close to the end, and emotionally shaken. I don't blame them.
Motorists are going to be dealing with a lot of stuff. Not only McNightmare construction and the changes coming with it today, but also heavy traffic on the turnpike interstates during the holiday weekend.
Yeah, I know that a lot of people are on the road. We always talk about Memorial weekend and Labor Day weekend for travel, but this is another big one where people do drive to a lot of places.
So I was surprised, Larry, to see in a story that we had earlier this morning on the Turnpike that they're expecting as many as 590,000 motorists on Monday.
Right. A lot of people take Monday off, and then that becomes a big travel day.
Yep, it sure does. And
no, that's not in Washington. That's the chant for Alexander Ovechkin last night at PPG Paints Arena. And that was a post that the Washington Capitals social media put up. It said, "Ovi chants in Pittsburgh. Never thought we'd see the day. Thank you, Penguin fans." And you know what? Good luck to the Caps in the playoffs, because the Penn season is over.
Well, at least they ended that season with a convincing win last night. Was it with 5-3, right?
Yeah, Rust had two. But
and Sidney scored.
As you would expect, Sidney Crosby scored, and so did Ovi. So it was a special night and a special day in Pittsburgh. Good morning and a good Friday. And we're going to have a summer-like start to the weekend weather-wise, as you just heard, around 80 degrees today. Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen. Hunger is present in every zip code in America, but counties with the highest rates of food insecurity are disproportionately rural, and rural areas make up 62% of all those counties, but 9 out of 10 counties with the highest food insecurity are rural. Feeding America, and we welcome Vince Hall, who's the Chief Government Relations Officer for Feeding America, and you can see Vince on our live stream at kdkradio.com, brought to you by Metropolitan Window Company. Vince, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me today.
And there's a good reason to have this conversation today, as we find groups around the country scrambling to figure out financially what's next. And in this case, you're here to really urge a bipartisan effort to keep feeding America, right?
That's exactly right. You know, organizations like the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank are doing extraordinary work, not just in the city of Pittsburgh, but in many of the surrounding counties where the rates of hunger reach the highest rates that we see. It is tragic, but 47 million people in the United States are struggling with hunger. That's about one out of every seven people. And those rates are significantly higher in rural America. But so is the cost of solving hunger as we try to move food further distances in smaller quantities to serve smaller communities. But organizations like the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank are dedicated to that, and they serve every county within the region.
You know, I remember the response here in Pittsburgh, especially right after the pandemic started. And now here we are all these years later, and Christy, we've been hearing from the Greater Community Food Bank here that the demand hasn't lessened. It's the same. Why is that?
You know, the tragedy is it's actually gone up. During the pandemic, the government took many steps to try to protect Americans from the effects of a shutdown of the economy, to try to help restart the economy. But it was actually when all of those pandemic era supports began to get rolled back by Congress that we saw hunger rates start to soar. About 40% of the people who came to food banks during the pandemic had never been to one before. And honestly, many of them have been unable to make enough money with the inflated prices for food and with rent and gas and all the other monthly budget essentials. They have not been able to stop relying on the food bank. And, you know, food banks are meant to be a temporary source of emergency help during hard times. They're not really equipped to be a permanent piece of each family's monthly budget equation. And that's why, as you said, we're really advocating in Congress for a new farm bill that makes strong investments in the important nutrition programs that can solve hunger for everybody in this country.
We're with Vince Hall, Chief Government Relations Officer with Feeding America. So when you've reached out to both sides, what has been the response when you talk to them one-on-one? Do they get it?
Well, it's a mixture. I mean, the good news is that everybody identifies the problem of hunger as being serious. And across the aisles, both parties seem very dedicated to the idea of successful food banks, that they want organizations like the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank to succeed and to be able to serve everybody in line. But 23% of the food that comes to organizations like your local food bank is from the federal government, and those resources have been cut back. Those resources are actually declining. The way to solve that through the Farm Bill is to make significantly more investment in the Emergency Food Assistance Program, which we call TFAP, or to make improvements in the SNAP program, what we used to call food stamps. That SNAP program provides 9 meals for every 1 meal provided by all the nation's food banks combined. So it's really America's frontline defense against hunger. But without TFAP, without more federal commodities through the Emergency Food Assistance Program, it's going to be very difficult for food banks to be there for people who aren't eligible for SNAP or who just immediately fall on hard times and it takes a while to get on SNAP. And those are the resources that food banks need to serve every rural community as well as every neighborhood of Pittsburgh itself.
And if you support this effort, make sure you let your elected officials know. Vince Hall, Chief Government Relations Officer with Feeding America. Appreciate your time this morning on this Good Friday, Vince. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
And appreciate the work you and everybody involved does on a daily basis. Every weekday afternoon with Colin Dunlap, brought to you by ServiceMaster of Greater Pittsburgh, demand the yellow van. You know who's in town? Bob Dylan.
I was listening to a conversation the other day. I can't remember what show it was. I think it might have been a national, like, satellite show, in which one of the participants had recently been to a Bob Dylan concert and said that they did not understand a single word
and
during the performance. And I thought to myself, you know what? If you know the music, you're in a good spot. But if you maybe they should make the lyrics available like on a screen or have somebody, you know, passing out little pamphlets with the lyrics for each of the songs.
Do what they do now at the opera where you have subtitles.
Yeah. That would help.
Above on a screen, just to your point.
I mean, but who would have thought we'd be at the point where we're discussing Bob Dylan and the need for subtitles?
Oh, my gosh.
It doesn't make him any less of a fantastic songwriter and a very interesting person and musician of, you know.
Why is his poetry, his lyrics, so timeless? And how has he been, you know, because he's been this incredible arc. And if you saw the movie, and by the way, this is the first time Bob Dylan's been to Pittsburgh since the movie was a smash hit, a complete unknown about his early days. You can see early on in the movie the fact that he doesn't want to keep singing the same song. So when he does a show, even though the fans want to hear their favorites, he wants to play something different.
Sure. What's your favorite, by the way? Do you have a favorite Bob Dylan song?
It's the old school stuff, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, the most basic is Blowin' in the Wind. And some of the other songs that he wrote that other artists did, like All Along the Watchtower, Jimi Hendrix
did. How about Knocking on Heaven's Door?
Yeah. I mean, there is a list of great songs, which I doubt you're going to hear Monday night.
Now, I got to say that one of my favorites is from the 70s, You Gotta Serve Someone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And the show is sold out. Doesn't surprise me. What's the Benedum hold? Like 2,800 people. And I saw him, it was a few years ago. You probably remember. I told you I was going to see him at the RMU Center.
They has it been years now? My goodness.
It's been a few years.
What a blur this has been for me here.
And I said this would be, you know, probably the last chance to see Bob Dylan, but here he is back Monday night.
Hey, good for him.
And somebody said, well, to your point, you're not going to understand a single word he says.
Well, if you know the music, it doesn't matter.
And they were right. But it was cool to see him. He's so iconic. And when he came out, he was at a piano, but it wasn't a grand piano. It was like one of those music school pianos where you have the wooden slats that go, you know, diagonal.
Piano. Right.
And all you could see was from his nose up and his hair sticking straight up.
I also heard in this comment, and I guess you can confirm this now, that he really doesn't interact with the audience.
No, he didn't really.
Yeah.
But I just figured that, you know, that was his thing.
Well, you're there to hear the music.
But the people that were there, just they didn't care.
No, I wouldn't.
But it was funny. Yes, I had no idea. Through the first song, I looked at my buddy. I'm like, I have no idea what he's saying, but I don't care. So that's one of the highlights to the weekend. There are a lot of musical acts in town. Scott Blasey is doing a tribute to David Bowie. Scott's from the Clarks.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very popular. Well, very talented.
That's pretty good. Hmm?
And at the movies, one of the movies that I am going to see.
Oh, here we go with that wartime movie, right?
It's called Warfare, and it was produced and directed by a Navy SEAL about Ramadi in Iraq in 2006. And he said it didn't get a lot of attention, and he, in part, wants to set the record straight. And the way they shot this is many of the scenes are in real time. So when they tell you, you know, help's on the way in a minute, it's a minute or two or three, you know, the way this is done, because he wanted to give, I guess, us civilians as accurate a description of what these men went through in 2006.
You're like, what's 1 minute when you're sitting in traffic, right? Or 1 minute when you're at home doing something like cooking in the kitchen. You know, really, it's just a minute. Doesn't really make any difference. But what's a minute when you're under fire and you need help now? And it seems a lot longer, doesn't it?
And there is a concern because it's so realistic. As we discussed and we talked to Steve Monteleone from It's About the Warrior Foundation, he deals with a lot of veterans who are experiencing post-traumatic stress. So this movie, in a way, on one hand, is cathartic and healing to some in the sense that they're able to tell their story. It can be a trigger for others.
And Larry, besides the indoor stuff like concerts and movies, there's going to be a tremendous opportunity starting today and through the weekend through Sunday, Easter Sunday, to get outdoors and do things. We've got highs in the low 80s or mid 70s. Sunday cools off a little bit. Maybe a little thunderstorm in the afternoon tomorrow. And then Sunday looks great. If you got Monday off, travel weather is going to be decent, but there might be some showers and thunderstorms. A lot of people are going to be outdoors this weekend.
Yeah, many times I've been told to get out, and so I will. You know,
well, for example, North Park would be a good spot to pop up, wouldn't you think?
I walked there yesterday, and I'm telling
you. Hey, how are things going spring-wise there?
In the park?
Yeah.
It was jammed, like it was a summer day. I drove past this place called Cadence, which is one of those cool bike places that's also a restaurant, and the place was jammed. The parking lot was filled, and this is around 5 o'clock, right? And then there's the golf, where you have the driving range there and the batting cages, jammed, like it was a Saturday summer day. It was packed everywhere, walking around the lake, people on bike. I love to see that. And people are itching to get out. And so you have a chance to do that again today and parts of the weekend. What are we at, 51 right now, Paul?
It is.
So it's going to be, watch me do this math, 30 degrees warmer this afternoon. 30. See how I calculated that?
Mm-hmm. And no fingers or toes were used in the computation.
I've been around long enough where I learned on an abacus at St. Ursula Grade School. I'm Larry Richard. Welcome. Thanks for choosing us. A lot going on this weekend on this Good Friday. And one of the most important takeaways of the week has been the discussion about autism with our new health secretary, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And joining us is a parent of a 27-year-old, Lynn Cass, his son. She describes as profound autism, intellectual disability, epilepsy, and anxiety. She is a disability advocate with the East Suburban Citizen Advocacy. Lynn, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. Thanks for having me.
I think one of the things, or one of the takeaways, is the fact that we're talking about autism and talking about finding ways to help and maybe get to what the genesis of this is. But you've lived this life. And when was your son first diagnosed? How old?
He was diagnosed at age 3.
And is that typical?
I believe it is typical, but to be honest with you, in hindsight, there were some things that we saw in him that should have been red flags, but honestly, we didn't really know at the time. Thankfully, we had a very astute pediatrician who noticed some things, but I do believe that around preschool age is generally when people begin to notice the signs of autism, yes.
And when you say that, what are the signs?
Well, in the case of my son, he had some delayed milestones, delayed gross motor milestones, was slow to walk, actually never crawled, never was able to pull himself up. So he had some delayed gross motor milestones. He had some issues with eye contact, and his speech and his movements were very atypical. He did not use first-person pronouns. He used third-person pronouns, which is called echolalia. In other words, he would repeat language to me the same way I would say it to you. So if I would say to him, Alex, you do, he would use the pronoun you instead of using the word I. So some of those things were the clues to us that maybe there was something exactly not right there.
And since he is 27, you've dealt with this for the last 2 decades plus. And what has that journey been like?
Well, it's been a long journey. It's definitely a marathon and not a sprint. And I think sometimes when your children are first diagnosed, there's definitely a sense of grieving and a sense of, you know, not really knowing what the future holds. Alex was lucky enough to attend a very good school for the majority of his public school time. He went to Presley Ridge Day School for Autism, which gave him an excellent education. But the reality is that Alex is still profoundly affected by his disability. And once he left the school system at age 21, which children who are in special education are eligible to stay in school until age 21. And once he left school at age 21, his needs were still significant. They were still there. And unfortunately, the adult world for individuals with autism and just with developmental disability in general, adult world is in many ways woefully inadequate to serve the needs of our growing children.
And I know there is a spectrum with a wide variety of different ways that this presents. And there are many on the spectrum, as I understand, who are high functioning and can do very well under circumstances.
Absolutely.
But one of the concerns you have is the funding to continue these programs for special needs children.
Right, absolutely. I mean, make no mistake, whether an individual is, no matter where on the spectrum an individual falls, they are lacking in appropriate services. Students who are able to come out of school and able to enter into the workforce, it's very difficult to get appropriate job coaching. It's difficult to obtain and maintain employment. It's difficult to get supports for students who go on to take college classes. But it's also very difficult for individuals like my son who, by definition, profound autism is someone who requires 24/7 care for the remainder of their life due to communication deficits, in Alex's case, intellectual disability, epilepsy. And it costs money to provide these services to individuals. And that is a real concern that parents have, that whether the funding will indeed still be there for their children. And then once the funding is there, there's also the added difficulty of a continuing workforce crisis the whole way through. We don't have enough special education teachers. We don't have enough direct support professionals, enough behavioral specialists, enough support coordinators. All across, we do not have enough people in the workforce to deliver the services that are necessary. So funding is a big part of it, and we are concerned with the kind of axe-wielding cuts that we fear are in the future. That is a big part of it. But once you get the funding, you actually have to have trained and qualified people to do these jobs. And that's another issue that families have concern about.
Well, I appreciate your passion, and we encourage people to reach out for more information and certainly encourage our elected officials to help keep funding and even increase funding in this world. So, Lynn, thank you.
Thank you very much, Larry, for the time to talk about this very important issue. Thank you very much.
You got it. We appreciate you and know that so many people do care. Lynn Cass on the Big K Morning Show. And you really feel for parents who are in this world. However, you are not alone. And
it's really somber. It's like everyone left. I feel like so many people left. They don't want to be here. They don't want to like keep walking around and reliving it, like what they saw, what they heard.
That is an FSU student, Larry, who says some students have packed up and left campus.
I don't know about you, but when I heard about this yesterday, your heart just sinks. Oh, no, not again.
Absolutely. Motorists will be dealing with a lot of stuff. Not only the McNightmare construction and lane restrictions, big crossover change happening today, but even more so the heavy traffic on the turnpike and interstates during the holiday weekend.
Yeah, people are on the move. We talk about Labor Day and Memorial Weekend for travel, but this weekend, including Monday, it's very busy.
Yeah, it's like more than 500,000 vehicles on Monday, nearly 600,000, in fact, on the turnpike alone, Larry.
That's actually incredible, so heads up, don't drive distracted. The Washington Capitals social media posted this. Ovi Chance in Pittsburgh, never thought we'd see the day. Thank you, Penguin fans.
Yeah, last game of the season, a 5-3 win for the Pens, but also the recognition for Ovechkin. After the game, I saw a picture of Ovechkin with both Gino and Sid in one of the hallways, you know, where the locker rooms would be, and they were presenting him with a Rolex watch.
And he looked happy.
Yeah.
Was really nice. They ran about a 90-second video of highlights of Ovechkin's career, which pumped up the crowd. He got a very warm ovation, and I'm sure he appreciated that. Maybe didn't expect it in Pittsburgh because of all the great battles they've had over the year. And as you would expect, both Ovechkin and Crosby each scored a goal.
As well they should have.
And the Pens won the game.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for the Pens, that's it. And the Caps go on to the playoffs, one of 16 teams to get Lord Stanley's Cup. And it was a great night in Pittsburgh.
The markets are closed today for Good Friday, but the trade war continues to worry investors. The Dow dropped another 527 points on Thursday. The Nasdaq lost 20, and the S&P 500 picked up just 7. A federal judge ruled that Google is operating a monopoly in online advertising technology. Last year, the same judge ruled Google maintained a monopoly over internet searches. The rulings raise the possibility that Google could be broken up. Google is appealing both decisions. Burn injuries triggered a massive recall of 429,000 wireless Casely PowerPod phone chargers. The Consumer Product Safety Commission says their lithium batteries can overheat and ignite. They were sold between March 2022 and September 2024. If you have one, you're urged to stop using it immediately. Looking for a meal deal? Red Robin launched its Bottomless Burger Pass on Thursday that offers gourmet burgers and bottomless sides for just $20. But the pass is sold out within minutes, crashing the website. But not to worry, you can still get in on the popular all-you-can-eat Buffalo Wild Wings and Fries deal offered every Monday and Wednesday. We can all use deals like those these days. That's your CBS Money Watch report for this Friday morning. I'm Carissa Lawson, CBS News.
And this market update is brought to you by UPMC Health Plan. Social Security, you get a lot of people's attention. Because over the years, the Social Security question of will there be enough money for me and how does this all work?
So, Aaron, big weekend. You don't have to travel.
Legit.
No weddings, obviously.
It is
a holiday
weekend. You
no weddings,
into
thank
Social
goodness.
Security,
and you went
banking.
Literally,
you're in that
on being
time
able
period
to
in your life
utilize
where you're going to baby showers,
retire.
Weddings.
And
what can we call it?
Larry Richard with Anchorman
it is
Paul
such
Rasmussen,
an era
and we welcome
of like
to
your late 20s, early 30s.
Alex
it's
Dawson,
insane.
Executive.
It's actually
producer,
a really
director of Social Security
time.
Works.
just
Alex,
don't know
morning.
Yet.
you're just in a tornado, never-ending tornado.
Right, you can't
so
think
give
about
us an idea
and
about
that's why
what your organization does
when you
so that
you have
start there and then.
And
we'll
then
want
you
to
go through that tournament.
Where
right?
we
You're
are
going
now,
to soccer
where you
practice,
think it's going.
Basketball.
But first,
you
what school
does your organization
all this stuff,
do?
Right?
I had three kids.
Yeah, for 15
so
years, we
you're
literally have
driving everywhere.
To protect
oh my
you
and
go here, I'll go here, pick it up.
Social Security, and Medicare, and Medicaid,
by.
And to lower prescription drug
and then
prices.
If you're fortunate enough,
in line with the goals
you
of the original Social
you,
Security Act signed into law. About
better than
90
you think
years
be.
Ago by FDR.
Because it's totally different.
And that said, and this
less
isn't
of a
political responsibility.
Both parties over the
yes,
years
you become their bestie.
Resources. You can
haven't
live
been.
In the moment, and there's
no,
no bond.
No one
you
can
know this
lay
well,
even
you have,
take one penny
so
of money out
your
of Social Security.
With your
by law, it can
so
only
true.
Be spent
so
on
true.
Benefits and the administration to
she,
get those
no.
benefits into she, the hands of the people.
You
so it's a misunderstanding
like
that politicians have taken the money
did,
or the money's not there.
Well,
back
and
when
my
FDR
relationship with my grandma
law,
was she
was
would,
extremely proud
you know, she
of
could get feisty with me, I could get feisty with her, and she'd say,
and he said, this is
when I would go to
those
nail appointments,
politicians
she would say,
from ever being able
you know,
to get
why don't you
their
start
hands on
me
my
with
Social
you?
Security
go
system.
Go ahead and pick me up before
so
you head to that
the
appointment.
Money
I said, okay.
is there.
I guess
it's ours. It's for us. We
you just
pay
coerced
into
me into that.
And then the money is there when we need it, when we retire,
and
if we face a life-changing illness or injury and become disabled and can no longer work.
Intensive care.
Or for the surviving children. Children in the death
said,
of
a good time,
the breadwinner of the family. But what
she
we're seeing today
her hand,
is unprecedented. So
passed.
For 90 years,
wow.
90 years,
What a special moment you got to have with her.
Bus through health and pandemic.
Obviously, that's something
Social
you never
Security
forget,
has never missed a single payment.
Yeah, that's amazing.
But now you've got an unelected billionaire named Elon Musk in there. He's in the Social Security Administration, and he has got his chainsaw. And ever since he's been in there, we've seen checks not go out in full and on time. People can't access their information. And so Social Security has never failed in its mission. But you have someone in there right now who's making it fail by destroying the administration to get those benefits to the people.
So the question becomes, and with the changes you just made, and again, I if you're somebody who's counting on that, and so many people do, you know, that what other changes are they implementing that'll make it more challenging?
You know, wholesale destruction of the Social Security Administration is the only thing that makes any sense about the changes that they're making. I mean, there's nothing in what they've done that would make anything more efficient or effective. This is already an incredibly efficient system with vanishingly small levels of fraud, waste, and abuse. And even that those vanishingly small levels are meticulously noted and fought. But all of those systems have been destroyed by Elon Musk's so-called Doge team. A judge just ruled today, though, that he had to stop stealing our data at the Social Security Administration. But, you know, unfortunately, what I've been doing is telling people that they have to protect themselves from Elon Musk and his Doge goons. They have to download their hard copy of their Social Security file, print it out, because I don't trust the digital version anymore because they're in there fiddling around with the computers. Luckily, the courts ruled they can't do that anymore. But they're also firing the people who work in the front offices, closing offices. They've decimated the 800 number so that you can't get a hold of a person. So what we're also advising is that people get in touch with their elected federal representatives, both senators and their member in the House, on the constituent services side. So have a person's name, their email, that their job is to ensure that you get every penny of federal benefits that you've earned. If you see anything out of the ordinary, and meticulously check your accounts, the accounts of your loved ones, make sure the checks are getting there on time and in full. And if you see anything, contact your senator's offices immediately and demand that you get the money that you've earned or that a loved one has earned. Remember, it's your money. Nobody gives us anything when it comes to Social Security. We earn it.
And that's the difference in a lot of other programs. Alex Dawson, executive producer, director with Social Security Works. Thank you. Appreciate the time this morning. Have a great weekend. Fired up.
I am.
Where were you, can I ask?
I was in Turks and Caicos.
Turks and Caicos.
It's an absolutely beautiful place to be.
I've never been.
It's fantastic.
I've been to Neville Island.
You have to step out inside your comfort zone and go other places, please.
Well, good to see you back. And speaking about stepping out of your comfort zone,
yes.
Gayle King among pop star Katy Perry.
Yes.
You had Jeff Bezos,
yes,
fiance.
Yes, Lauren Sanchez, the whole crew.
Went up into Blue Origin.
They sure did.
And when they came down 11 minutes later,
yes.
Gayle King said this.
It's oddly quiet when you get up there. Mm-hmm. It's really quiet and peaceful.
Yeah,
and you look down at the planet and you think, that's where we came from? To me, it's such a reminder about how we need to do better, be better. Be better human beings.
Why is this woman taking such heat?
But why is it that you're going up for how many seconds and coming down and saying people should be better? That doesn't even make sense. Like, listen, this is one comment on social media. Them paying to go to space for 10 minutes with skin-tight designer costumes and full professional makeup, making this cry about it's being for women is crap. I was like, skin tight costumes.
Don't we have a lot of other important things to worry about?
But there are people there are astronauts who put in the work. to actually have an opportunity to do this, I get it. It's great. More people may have an opportunity to do this later, you know, later on down, probably after I'm gone, I'm sure. However, to make this about women and this is what women about, it's an all-female crew, I totally disagree. I agree with what people are saying. Just take your little trip and come on down and just tell people what it was like. Oh. But to make it seem like you're in this mindset that you're an astronaut, girl, bye.
Well, maybe there were mushrooms involved. I don't know.
I don't know. Anyway, let's transition to Lil Nas X. You remember him?
He had a huge hit, Lil Nas X, with this song.
Yeah.
I kind of like that? It. I like it too.
Talk about heat. He took the heat for that song. People be on fire on social media.
I saw, though, that he's having some kind of medical issue, some kind of paralysis on his face.
It's called Bell's. Is
Bell's,
it Bell's
palsy?
Palsy, yes. Is what they kind of similar to what Justin Bieber has.
Yes.
But he revealed he's lost control of one side of his face, sparking concern. But one expert says it looks like Bell palsy, and he says he's fine. Craig was in the hospital, cracking jokes, making fun. So he's telling people to be easy. Everything is fine.
Making fun of his own smile, because with Bell's palsy, when part of your face is paralyzed, and in many cases it's temporary, but
correct,
takes time. In some cases, not. So
yeah,
you're not sure.
Yeah.
But he was making fun of his own smile.
He
couldn't give you a full smile. It was like a half smile.
Exactly. But as long as he was in good spirits. Now, this story has me, I was literally cracking up while I was in the newsroom. So at Coachella 2025, Kylie Jenner and Timothy Chalamet, is that how you pronounce it?
Chalamet.
They were holding hands and sharing a passionate kiss during the performance of Travis Scott, the father of her child. They were there having a great time while they watched her daughter's father, Stormy's dad, perform. Isn't that crazy?
I'm glad I don't live in that world.
I'm just saying, like, to be in Holly Weird is what they say, right, Larry?
Yeah.
You have this, you know, this couple that's sitting there, and you have Travis Scott headlining, and you're sitting there with your new beau, whatever you want to call it, and you're just sitting there watching your old man with your new man perform.
Hey,
listen, we're not there, Larry.
Speaking of Coachella, this is the second weekend. Headliners include Lady Gaga, Green Day, Post Malone, Missy Elliott.
Missy Elliott, yes. Come on, Larry. Why don't you doing this trip to where? The Steelers and come on.
Ireland.
Let's put a little trip together. Let's Coachella 2026.
I'd rather go to Burning Man.
Trending with T. I'm out.
Paparazzi.
Paparazzi.
All right, T. Tamara Rush from our news department. And Aaron, T is clearly been energized by her little hiatus.
She's refreshed.
That means trip, by the way. Sounded. This is the Big K Morning Show. Appreciate you joining us on this Good Friday, anything but yesterday. Florida State University and the lunch hour became the 81st mass shooting since we begin this new year, which is described as 4 or more people being injured by gunfire, not including the shooter. 81. And many reaction is, here we go again. Joining us from CBS is a crime and safety unit leader, Anna Schechter. Anna, good morning.
Good morning.
So let's walk us through what transpired yesterday on that campus.
Well, just before noon, shots rang out, and they were all from a 20-year-old suspect student at the school who opened, fired, injuring 6 and killing 2 people. The weapon used was a handgun. The suspect obtained it from his stepmother, who was a longtime sheriff's deputy in the local sheriff's office. That news uh, came out during a press conference with the sheriff's office and the Tallahassee Police Department. It was shocking news, very unusual circumstances. We also learned that the Florida State University campus police were the first on the scene. They gave the suspect directions, which he did not follow, and they therefore fired shots, injuring him. He continues to be hospitalized at this time. And so far as we know, he has not answered investigators' questions. He has invoked his Fifth Amendment rights. And that's what we know at this time.
And I understand that Florida State University, and understandably, has canceled classes today and all sporting activities through the weekend. That said, as a crime and safety unit leader, I'm sure, and this begs the question, what do we do? What can we do? This is so pervasive. You feel helpless when you hear these things happen time and time again.
That's right. And what we as journalists do is we look at the gun laws. So Florida has relatively loose gun laws. After the school shooting back in 2018 in Florida, there were gun laws making it harder for young people to purchase firearms, handguns and shotguns. But that doesn't apply in this case. So then we look at safe storage gun laws. In Florida. Florida does have a law that kicks in if a minor under the age of 16 obtains a firearm from a home unlawfully. But that doesn't apply here either.
Right.
The suspect is 20 years old. And so there's really no law that would have prevented this individual from getting his hands on a weapon. And, you know, in this tragic case, opening fire on campus. It's also a really difficult scene to secure. This is wide open. There were multiple people just walking around, going to class. You can't fully secure an open area like that. And even when we have metal detectors installed in high schools and middle schools and the like, still people can evade those, but at least those help. But in an open air campus like that, very challenging place to secure. Luckily, there were so many officials on site yesterday, local, state, and federal, to help out. That helped speed up the time frame for securing the area and declaring the threat neutralized. It only took a few hours. But that's a very challenging scenario when you have such a large area that could really be accessed by anybody.
Well, fortunately, law officials were able to take down the shooter before even more death and destruction could take place. So
that's right. They acted quickly.
We appreciate your time, Anna. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Crime and Safety Unit Leader Anna Schechter with CBS. Another story you're going to hear about a lot today, the president and the Fed chair at odds. Find out why, CBS's Weijia Zhang.
In the Oval Office, President Trump was asked if he has the power to fire Fed Chair Jerome Powell.
I'm not happy with him. I let him know it, and if I want him out, he'll be out of there real fast, believe me.
That frustration stemmed from Powell's prediction about the impact of Trump's tariffs.
The level of tariff increases announced so far is significantly larger than anticipated, and the same is likely to be true of the economic effects, which will include higher inflation and slower growth.
And from Powell's refusal to lower interest rates at Trump's demand.
I don't think he's doing the job. He's too late, always too late.
The president hasn't explicitly said that he's going to try to fire Jerome Powell. Does he even have the power to do that?
My reading of the law is no, he does not have that power.
Wendy Edelberg worked as an economist under Presidents Bush and Obama and for the Federal Reserve Board for nearly 5 years.
President Trump continues to talk about what he wants the Fed to do. Even if the Fed doesn't listen, does that make a difference?
It makes a difference if financial markets think that President Trump is having influence. So that's the concern, because even if the Fed stays strong, maintains its independence, you can get these negative effects on financial markets if they lose their trust.
Trump's insults toward Powell unfolded as he was hosting Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni, his first meeting with a European leader since he announced steep tariffs on the EU that will go into effect in July if they can't reach a new trade deal with the U.S.
We're going to have very little problem making a deal with Europe or anybody else because we have something that everybody wants.
In the past, Trump has taken issue with Powell's decision-making, but now he is making claims about motive, accusing Powell of, quote, playing politics. But Powell insists that the Federal Reserve will never be influenced by political pressure. Weijia Jiang, CBS News, The White House.
From the Goldberg, Persky, and White News Desk.
It's really somber. It's like everyone left. I feel like so many people left. They don't want to be here. They don't want to like keep walking around and reliving it, like what they saw, what they heard.
That's an FSU student who says some students packed up and left campus early for the holiday.
Yeah, I don't blame them. And certainly there'll be a long road to hoe for many of the people directly affected. And for everybody else, the 81st mass shooting since January 1.
Motorists dealing with a lot of stuff around here. Not only McNightmare construction and the lane restrictions and the crossover change today, but there's also the heavy turnpike and interstate traffic expected over the weekend.
Tell you what, I was on that McKnight corridor. Now, they had a water main break about a week ago in front of the McDonald's outbound there, and it in the repair efforts, they had to shut down. They had shut down two lanes.
The one next to the car dealer?
Yes.
Wow.
And so it was. It took me 40 minutes to go about 2 miles. So McNightmare, yeah. And Jack Bogut, our new minted Hall of Famer, is the one that coined that how many years ago?
Well, he did it well. And I can tell you that I haven't put so much as a tire on McKnight Road since all of this started.
Wow. How about that? The Washington Capitals social media post was this. Ovi Chance in Pittsburgh. Never thought we'd see the day. Thank you, Penguins fans. It was the last game of the season for the Pens and fan appreciation night, but they were appreciating Ovi as well.
Yeah, you know, he's turned into a statesman for the game, I guess, like one of the best of all time, like a Gordie Howe and a Bobby Orr and a Wayne Gretzky. He's right up there with them. No longer the evil guy from Washington.
No, he got quite a reception. Now, they put together a tremendous highlight video of Ovi's career, and the whole team, their team, our team, the fans all watched, and then they demanded he come out for a little circle.
And a standing ovation.
Yeah, he did. And by the way, each of our superstars scored. It was Sidney Crosby and Ovi each got a goal, as you would expect. And
Penguins win 5-3.
Yeah, lots of questions about the Penguins' future, too. We'll have to ask Jeff Hathorn about that coming up on Monday. Thank you, Paul. Got John Shumway in a lot of trouble once.
Why?
Because on TV, when we were working together doing the morning news, he decided to put some grade school kids' pictures of Easter on television in a montage to this song. Well, that created a groundswell of schools that reached out to the station that they wanted equal time.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Oh, you're kidding.
See, you know, we could do our own version of that
this morning.
We could do our own spin on this, Larry. I would suggest that you cue up the song, The Bunny Hop, and then we'll have pictures, video of Michael hopping around the studio.
Oh, don't you worry. I'll do it. You know I'll do it. Pat Septak said he'd do it with me.
The news director.
Patrick Septak, and he's going to get his accordion and do Peter Cottontail.
Back in the day, Sue McInerney.
Oh, yeah, I know Sue very well.
You know her brother,
Brian.
I
went to Central with Brian, yeah.
Yeah, and she made Shumway do a series of montages with all the kids' artwork.
No.
Because of that song.
That's hilarious. Sue was the boss. Speaking of Easter, Paul, you two want to feel good right now?
Yeah.
12 noon. Marty left me a really nice story. Billy Saris, wait till you see what he did for a local nonprofit that we know. And I'm just, that's all I'm going to say. And you're going to feel good about Easter weekend. Don't you worry.
I think it involves candy, Paul.
Oh, hoo-hoo. Well, and a little more, and a little more than that.
He did
more
say the name Saris.
Yes, yes, indeed. You got it. I know.
Billy Saris.
Billy Saris. He knows.
Michael, have you been here when they've delivered a, like a large platter from Saris?
Yes, the, it's incredible.
Of the chocolate-covered pretzels?
Yeah.
And how fast they disappear?
I know. Patrick O'Connor is going to be here with me talking about it, too. I hope he has some, maybe, because I think he was involved in this. Maybe he's bringing some snick snacks from Saris.
Well, I apologize because Patrick O'Connor, Marty's Get Marty
partner. He has
partner,
been here a couple days this week that I've seen.
Yes, and I incorrectly thought he was off today.
No, because
normally he brings in goodies from Oakmont Bakery.
He was here. He was here. Was it yesterday? Because he said we have to do the Billy Saris thing, and I said I'm so glad we're doing it. No, he's here. Okay. He's been in a knot.
So you're gonna spring the info on this at what? At Saris
at noon. Twelve noon. I can't say anything. It's breaking news at noon.
I can check it out on my way home.
Breaking news.
We can always listen back on our Odyssey app.
That's how you do it.
How was last night? You went to services for Holy Thursday?
Yeah, and I cried again. I don't know why that makes me cry, those songs. Do you know this? You probably don't know the song, Now We Remain, but then, oh, man, I just love that song. And then I'm going today, 10:30, I have my boy on, Father Nick Vaskoff. He loves you.
He's
and
a good guy.
You know what
guy.
He always says? My aunt's listening to you and Larry. She thinks you and Larry are like Walter Cronkite and Dan Rather. And I said, what? He goes, oh, man. She said I'm going to have make dinner. You know, he's a heck of a chef. He said, I'm going to have to make dinner. I said, no, that's Larry, not me. He goes, no. She said, did you hear Larry and Michael talking? You know.
Hey, guys, by the way, speaking of talk and our strange accent and sayings, I caught a clip of Billy Gardell on the talk, and he went into his Yinzer thing.
Did he?
It was funnier.
Recently?
It was hysterical. If I can find that, I'll play it. I'll look for it while we're talking.
All right.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Listen to this.
Huh.
By the way, I interviewed both Walter Cronkite and Dan Rather.
Wait, can I tell you my Dan Rather story, please? Paul, are you listening?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know the restaurant Luca? It used to be owned by my friend Tommy Cinelli Upholstering. Ready?
Go ahead.
So his sister, Pam, who I love, she was the waitress. And I was at QED then, Paul, and she calls me. And I used to walk down for lunch. It was on Craig Street. Luca. You know Luke, the restaurant? Yeah.
Yeah.
So she said, Michael, there's a broadcaster in here. Are you coming down for lunch? I can't remember his name. And I don't know who he is. And I said, take a picture of him. Whoever it is, he won't care. Takes a picture. He's sitting by himself. He was there for an appearance at Pitt.
Who was it?
Dan Rather. So, and she sends the picture back, and she said, this is him. Does he look familiar to you? And I said, excuse me, that's Dan. This is 20 years ago. I said, excuse me, that's Dan Rather, the CBS Evening News. And she said, oh, my God, because he was so nice. I went up to him and I said, excuse me, aren't you the weatherman on WPXI?
Oh, wow.
Oh, it was the greatest.
Dan Rather came.
And he was so, and he said, no, ma'am, I'm not. He was so nice.
He was the keynote speaker when Bill Burns retired from KDK TV. And he told the story. He was traveling so much that he forgot his keys to his house once, had to ring the bell, and his kid opened the door and said, Mom, Dan Rather, sir.
You're kidding.
No.
Wait, Dan Rather was a very nice man. I never met Cronkite. You did?
I did a one-on-one TV interview with Walter Cronkite.
What year was that?
Oh, this was the beginning of the Pittsburgh Speaker Series.
Oh, wow.
And
so he was retired.
Yes. First question I asked him was, have you ever covered a big story in Pittsburgh? And he goes, well, Larry, when Shippingport went online, the nuclear reactor in 1956, I was there.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
he was cool. Nice, though, I heard.
He was great with me.
Yeah. Paul, you know who the nicest guy was I interviewed at Heinz Hall, too? And the stage was, and I'm like, oh, please, he's going to be a jerk. He's going to have a big ego. Henry Kissinger.
Oh, that's cool.
He was so really nice. And he
How about
just,
how he talked?
Really
I know.
Michael.
Yeah.
Right. Henry Kissinger.
And then he stopped there. And then, because you know, feedback or whatever, because they let the audience talk in Heinz Hall. And he's like, I can't hear what they're asking me. So I had to be like a translator, but he was nice about it.
All right, I got something big
That
everybody's going to be talking about. But first, Paul, what do you got for us?
Oh, the Billy Gardell thing. You want to hear that?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Here we go.
This is
hang on a sec,
him
guys.
On the talk. Talking about,
I think it starts on the plane ride there. All of a sudden, I'm like, hey, you just gonna go down the street? I'll be there in about an hour. Careful on them roads, they're slippy. And then I come back here and I start filming. They're like, cut, Brooke, can you bring that down? Whatever that is, bring that down.
I love it.
Ah, that's a Billy Gardell.
I love it. He's good, a good guy.
He's a good dude.
He's a loyal Pittsburgher.
Well, how about this?
All right.
Aaron Rodgers on a national show.
We're not going to name the show.
All right.
Yeah, some show.
Yeah, I know.
Some show said that he got to meet Mike Tomlin. You know, he came on the South Side.
Yeah.
He said, quote, he's more than I ever thought of him from afar, which was a nice compliment
very much
to Mike Tomlin. He said, the entire time I haven't felt like I owe anyone a decision at any point. This is my life now. I've been upfront with them about that. If you need to move on, if you need to do something, by all means, do.
Wow. Yes, right.
And then he said, I'm open to everything and not attached to anything, and I'm not holding anyone hostage. So to answer 6 months of speculation about quarterbacks in here and then the last few months about whether it's Aaron Rodgers, doesn't sound like six days away from the draft that he's going to be a Steeler.
And doesn't it make sense if that's true that the Steelers have to make some plans for the upcoming year? If that's true that he's still undecided when the draft starts, don't the Steelers start to have moves?
Same question.
Yeah.
Yes.
They do, Larry.
Yes.
Of course they do. Wow.
But he apparently
Why does he have to be... Okay, I'm grateful for the way he said that, but he's always complicated. He's always... Don't you agree with that?
Do we need that, more drama?
No. No.
We'll see. Michael, thank you.
Oh, okay.
Have a great show today.
Thank you, Larry.
They're going to hold...
It's going to be fun.
Yes, you're going to release him back into the newsroom now?
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Oh,
look
wait,
at them.
Where's the donuts at? Where are they at?
It looks like Dawn of the Dead out there.
Pat Septak. Well, yeah, they're waiting for me. Yeah, no one's talking until I get out there.
My wife likes that Walking Dead stuff, and every Sunday the new episode would come out at 9 p.m., and I'd be just going to bed to get up at 3, and here's what I'd hear walking through the family room.
What?
Block, who's, I'm sure, a much happier camper, Paul, after the Pirates took a 3-out-of-4-game series against the Washington Nationals.
Those two home runs that were hit by O'Neill Cruz, his calls on both of those were, man, he was stoked.
Yeah, and good for him. For those that don't know, two nights ago, O'Neill Cruz, after a bench-clearing incident involving pitcher Jorge Lopez. Is it Jorge?
Yeah, Jorge. Yeah.
Did I say that right?
Right.
He got a 3-game suspension, by the way, for they determined he intentionally threw at the head of Andrew McCutchen.
As well he should have been.
Who ducked at the last split second and was a... There he is, Patrick O'Connor and his son, the football star. And they brought the goods. So thank you, thank you,
and,
thank
and
you.
And what sound will be... be hearing in the lobby in just a moment or two.
That's pretty much the same sound you hear on Walking Dead. Meanwhile, it's Steve Blass's 83rd birthday
today.
Yeah, and he is one of the few that have played with Roberto Clemente, and he was there yesterday when they dedicated the exact home plate spot where it was in the old Three River Stadium.
Oh, did he tell one of his stories?
Of course.
Yeah, I love his stories.
But this is, Aaron, do you ever watch any of those zombie shows like Walking Dead?
Walking Dead, I have watched an episode or two. My sister was a big fan.
This used to be the ringtone of my wife. I'm like, what are we doing?
Oh, yeah, she's a huge fan, right?
That's actually the sound I'm hearing from the newsroom, to your point.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, we were talking about Aaron Rodgers, because that's going to be the talk on Sports Talk now for the next. Then they got to speculate about the draft, right? I'm just going to wait till the end of next weekend and see who everybody got, right?
That's a good way to go.
Yeah. And tonight, from Cleveland, the Guardians are in town.
They got a pretty good team.
For a series with the Pirates over at PNC. You won't even have to wear a jacket if you're going to the game this evening. 6:40 is first pitch. I think, no, we're going to air. What time? Game starts. By the way, we've sent some
people. The game starts at 6:40.
That's first pitch, right?
Yep.
5:45 is air time?
Yep.
Thank you, Andrew. Andrew Lindbergh, our esteemed former producer, Aaron, of this very broadcast in the morning. He survived Shumway and I.
And he's the best.
For half a decade.
Yeah, to move into a much more, what's the word I'm looking for?
Well, the problem for him now is he has to sit in the newsroom with the soup that you guys brew every day is terrifying.
Yeah, I think the word he picked out there is the one, a much more sane existence.
I just thought of something. Here's Andrew's walk-up music. There's some new show with that Pascal guy's the star in it. It's another zombie show.
The Last of Us.
Thank you. What is that?
Based on a video game. Andy's in here.
Andy, come in, please.
Please.
You know, the only zombie show I've ever seen that I've watched the whole thing would be Night of the Living Dead. That's it.
Are you into any of these zombie pictures?
My wife is. My wife watches all of that. Last of Us.
Yeah.
Walking Dead. Watching Yellowstone right now, which is not about that.
I love Yellowstone. So good.
Yellowstone is Kevin Costner, highly successful program. It's run its course. They're making prequels, movies, other streaming out of it. Have you ever seen it, Paul? Yellowstone?
No, I haven't. I used to live
there.
He lived
it.
I've already seen it.
In Yellowstone. He is the guy. He looks like a rancher out there. Anyway,
I mean, I'm way behind. I'm trying to catch up on the show called Dallas. That's how far behind I am.
Which was one of the first where the networks would try to lure you in. It was their version of a streaming show, but you had to wait till the day to get the new episodes every week. Dallas, there was Rich Man, Poor Man,
Falcon Crest.
And now you have the Housewives of Jersey, New York.
Hoboken. I don't know.
Hoboken. I'm pushing this. I want Housewives of Dormont. Let's put it together. I think that would be interesting. Just pick Dormont because it's like growing now with the T. They're thinking about doing expansion.
Hey, you can't wear damn shoes in here.
I'd watch 100%. All right, Andy. Thank you. Please be careful out in the newsroom.
I think I got clipped by somebody running for a donut.
That was Cale Berger.
Field, Crozes hit a grand slam. That's how you answer. That's how you answer. Grand slam for Croz. 6-0 Pirates.
Arr. Bucks take 3 from the Nats and win the series and stay home with the Cleveland Guardians in town. And joining us every Friday is Joe Block, Pirates broadcaster, and his 10th season with the Bucks. Joseph, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Larry. I'm outside. It's feeling great. It's finally spring here.
Yeah, I would imagine. And I want to, before we get to Pirate Talk, a Pirate for Life, you posted a social media shout out to Steve Blass, who turns 83 today. And I got to ask you, the picture you posted is from Lecom Park, right in the broadcast booth, which is named for Steve.
That's correct. Yes. Yes. And he was sitting in front of the first two letters of his last name, which are in big letters. And
which is spelled,
that's why he's the one and only Steve Blass.
B-L. ASS. That's a hilarious picture. Yeah, search out Joe Block on X. Meanwhile, you know, there's been a lot of consternation on a lot of levels, but all of a sudden, boy, we had just a perfect finish to the series yesterday, but it started at 10 o'clock with the 70th anniversary of Roberto Clemente's first hit, right where home plate was at Three Rivers. And what a great way to start the day.
And how astonishing was it, and I never realized this, that the immaculate reception and second base at Three Rivers were just feet apart. I mean, it's just a few yards away from one another. Great moments. I love how the Historical Society and Sabre coming together and just having those relics there in Pittsburgh, because you or I, you know, we can remember some of these things, or maybe we're watching at that time. But for younger people, this is just something that they would read about or hear about. And so now there's something really tangible there to commemorate that event. And so I think that's really wonderful that they've done that.
And ironically, after Roberto tragically passed on that fateful New Year's Eve, that was only a week after the Immaculate Reception.
Two of the most iconic memories in Pittsburgh sports that were recorded on television happened, you know, so quickly next to one another, which is kind of amazing to think about. And, you know, of course, we always commemorate Maz's dramatic home run in 1960, recreated with the radio broadcast every October 13th in Oakland. And I think that's so fun, too. So now we can have some more of that, I think, you know, at different times of the year for different reasons. So in late September, we can go over there and, you know, acknowledge those great events, too.
And I saw Steve Blass spoke at yesterday's dedication, and he's one of the few people that actually played and knew Roberto Clemente, which is kind of cool. A pirate for life who, at 83, spent most of his life as a pirate.
Yeah, spent his you know, his whole big league career with the Pirates, and was Roberto's teammate. I'm trying to think of the math here, for 8, 9, 10 years. So, I mean, thinking about that, winning World Series together, coming back from Baltimore champions together on the charter aircraft. Steve fondly talks about that all the time. And that's something that is such a treasure. So on Steve's birthday, we think about his many, many, many contributions to Pittsburgh and to the Pirates, and thinking about how he was able to be there yesterday and tell firsthand some of the recollections of not only that day, but of the great one.
That's Ed. We're with Joe Block, and let's talk about this Pirates team, that incident that led to the Cruz Grand Slam that you called, and that came after a bench-clearing incident, and now Jorge Lopez of the Nats has been suspended 3 games because they believe, the league, that that high fastball just over McCutchen's head was intentional. So he's serving a 3-game suspension. But more importantly, they came out and beat the Nats 3 out of 4. So a good series and a good start going into this weekend, right?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, you think about at that moment remember, he hit Reynolds with a fastball, and then the very next batter is McCutchen, and he throws one up near his head. So the two in combination were enough, and then he started walking toward home plate, and the umpires said, okay, you're out of this game. So from that moment on, the next batter that came up with a fresh count was Cruz, and the first pitch he saw, he hits a grand slam. And so since that moment, I mean, it was a 2-0 game. The Nationals, you know, if they come back late in the game, they take a series lead. Instead, the Pirates go on, win that game handily. And then yesterday, because of Cruz's home run, they win 1-0 on some more outstanding pitching. So they end up taking 3 out of 4 from the Nationals. And now you can see, if they have a good weekend here against Cleveland, now they've kind of gotten back right again, and they've had a good homestand, and they're on a roll and feeling good about themselves. So maybe that incident, you know, galvanized, is to use Derek Shelton's word, galvanized the team a little bit. Maybe we'll see what they can do against Cleveland here in this series. Cleveland's 9-9, so we'll see how they fare.
Yeah, tonight, the first of the fireworks nights, which is always added a fun element for families. And how about the weather? Joe, you don't have to wear a jacket. It's going to be 81.
Could be. Yeah, it could be planned better. I mean, it's like really the first really warm day now of the spring. We've had a little, you know, a little teaser here and there, but now it's like, oh, everyone wants to be outside. Yesterday we went to our local park. Everyone was out. It was so busy. And so like tonight, like everyone's off for Easter weekend and all right, let's go out and have the fireworks night. And so it's perfect timing for it. So I can't wait for that tonight. Be able to watch that after hopefully a very good ball game too.
And what are you doing with the kids for Easter weekend? What's the game plan?
Well, they're heading down right now to our camp, which is down near Somerset. So we got a little camp around the campground.
You're already camping?
So mom took them down there today. They're going to go down there for a little bit and then come back up tomorrow. So I'll have a little time with them Sunday morning. So that'd be nice.
All right, Joe. Always appreciate your time. Have fun this weekend and great work. I enjoyed hearing your calls.
Oh, wow. Well, thanks, Larry. I appreciate it. Well, it's all because of what the boys are doing, so let's keep it up.
Here we go. Joe Block on the Big K Morning Show.